Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get this hurricane stuff out of the way because I do want to get to the Dolphins. But we're going to go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line where they are truly steps beyond convenience. John Michaels, he is a longtime Atlanta radio host. You can hear him on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He can be heard nationally on SB Nation Radio. You can read his stuff on State of the U. His Twitter handle is John Michaels U. He's got the U tattooed on his arm. His son is named Kane. The dude is a diehard, and he is trying actively to get blocked by Dan Enos on Twitter, and he's joining us right now. Hello, John Michaels.
If Dan Enos blocks me, that'll be the first thing his offense blocked in about 3 weeks. So it would be really nice if something gets blocked.
So, okay. Where do you stand? Because I am not for firing Manny Diaz, and I am not calling for Dan Enos' head either, only because I defer to Manny Diaz. I think he needs longer. Where do you stand on Manny? And I kind of know where you stand on Dan Enos. Where do you stand on Blake James as well, the athletic director?
Blake James can kick rocks. I've had about three regimes too many of him. Nice guy. Met him in Orlando, shook his hand, took a picture with him. You know, because I'm a fan. I want guys to succeed at the University of Miami. But Blake James has run his course. And if I think Manny Diaz, and I, as a matter of fact, I know Manny Diaz is going to get another year. And it's fair for him to get another year. You gave Al Golden 4.5 years. You gave Randy Shannon 5 seasons too long. You have to give Manny Diaz a couple of years to get it right. But when I look around the country and I see Texas go, all right, Todd Orlando, you may be Tom Herman's best friend, but you stink as a defensive coordinator. You got to go. When I see other offenses go, even at Arizona State with Herm Edwards go, we need to score somewhere in the 30s in major college football. I'm going to fire my staff. Manny Diaz cannot make the same mistakes that his predecessors have made. Mark Richt failed because he kept his buddies around too long. Al Golden failed, well, partly because he was a used car salesman. The other part, because he kept his buddy Mark D'Onofrio around. And Randy Shannon was never given the resources to go out and hire the right type of coordinators. Manny needs to look right now and say, I fired all the junk I had a year ago. All of Mark Richt's cronies, they were out the window. I have to do the same with my guys. Blake Baker can go. Dan Enos can go. If I had my druthers, though, the one of the two that has to go is Dan Enos. He's cocky. He told us all offseason what he was going to do, and he did exactly the opposite of what he was supposed to do. And you had an offense that against major college football, take away the Bethune game, that averaged 24 points a game. That's pathetic in 2019.
And, John, talking about the offense where, you know, we were talking about the numbers. They're in the 120s of 130 in a lot of offensive stats. They're dead last in third down efficiency over football. Now, we're talking about Louisiana Tech and all, John. Like, but I've watched Enos. He was at Alabama with a very good offense. Like, do you give Enos any pass on the talent he's working with the numbers he's putting out?
A little bit, only because the talent on the offensive line is down, Channing. I mean, I'm a realist. You're starting a two-star left tackle, you're starting a three-star freshman guard. You had guys go down injured, and Lord knows the backups that came in the other day. The three of us could have put up a better fight at guard than 75 and 57 did for Miami because those kids were pathetic. But at Alabama, he was the QB coach. It's easy to walk into a room with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa and look like the savior that made that offense hum. He didn't call plays at Alabama, and even if he did, he doesn't have an offense right now that's throwing to Ruggs and Judy and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and those guys. Heck, I don't think the Dolphins have those guys to throw the football to. The problem is, if you really dissect and go back to his offenses, he gets credit for one really good year at Arkansas where Brandon Allen, I think it was Brandon Allen, threw for over 3,000 yards. He had a couple of really good tight ends. He ran the ball well. That year, they looked like they were going to be good. Well, he also had a great offensive line. Coach Enos told us this entire offseason that he would adapt to the personnel that he had. And when you got through Louisville, I even came on you guys' airways and said, it looks like Dan Enos is adapting to what he needed. And now all of a sudden against FIU and Duke, you look totally inept, where your talent is 10 times what you're playing against. That's where his pass completely went out the window. And I'm hoping right now that all of these firings around the SEC, somebody calls Dan Enos because they're buddies and said, hey, you're not loved in Miami anyway. Why don't you come here to Ole Miss or back to Arkansas or somewhere else where you've cut your teeth before?
John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta and SB Nation Radio. So Miami finishes the season 6-6. Most importantly, they end on this abysmal two-game losing streak to teams that they should not lose to, FIU and Duke. Those are inferior teams, at least in my mind. What is the football program right now, John?
It's in the worst shape, honestly, of my lifetime. 1979, I was 5 years old. I didn't know Miami from a hill of beans. I mean, I became a fan the next year and sort of followed the progress since then. 1997, Miami was bad, but they were also dealing with 33 scholarship reductions, and Butch Davis was playing basically all freshmen and only had about 50 kids on scholarship. And the year after that, they were 9-3, and soon after that, they were back playing for national championship. They were really bad under Randy Shannon in 2007. They go 5-6, dealing with the leftover of the Larry Coker Country Club, and the next year he goes out and signs the number one recruiting class with all the kids out of Miami Northwestern. Unfortunately, never parlayed that into national success, but they got back into the top 15, top 20. I did an article last week. Actually, I did two of them on State of the U last week, where I looked at 2020, and if you look on paper and you look at the talent, you go, man, this football team should be really good. But then when you look on what they've actually put on tape in the last 2 weeks of the season against FIU and Duke, I don't know where they're at. You know, the schedule a year from now is terrible. Your toughest out-of-conference game is Michigan State, who's probably going to be going through a coaching change. You look at that and say, okay, the things are in place to go 10-2, but something feels really toxic about Miami right now. Something feels really broken with Miami, and I don't know that a spring and a summer and a new recruiting class is going to fix it. Manny Diaz better find some type of magic elixir to get the right people in place, whether it's coaches and or players, because this is the lowest point. Hawk, I've had season tickets since 2003, living in another state. I'm seriously considering canceling season tickets if they stay status quo going into 2020.
Will you travel, though, to see their bowl game this year?
No. Unless it's in Nashville. I guess if it's in Nashville, Nashville's a 3.5-hour drive for me. My kids are all going to be gone for Christmas. My wife and I can make a nice romantic trip out of it. We can do some tow things. We can do all kinds of other stuff while we're up there. You know, that's the only way I'm going. If they're in St. Pete playing UCF in the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl, hell no. If they're in Shreveport, Louisiana, you couldn't pay me to go back there. So unless it's Nashville, which, you know, maybe I get lucky and they go to Nashville. Other than that, no, I'm not going to a bowl game.
John, I got to ask you about Jaren. Moving forward, now I know there's recruiting class coming in, and there's some four-star quarterback, Van Dyke or something, that's committed. But are you comfortable with Jaren moving forward out of what you've seen, like you say, in a broken offense, with a broken offensive line? Have you seen enough out of Jaren?
I've seen enough for him to compete for the job next year. I don't think it should be handed to him right now because he's been hot and cold. When he's hot, he looks like the next great in Miami quarterbacks. Efficient with the ball, accurate, can throw it on time. He dispelled the myth that he couldn't throw it down the field. But the last 2 weeks, I have not seen a quarterback that makes me go, wow, that's my kid in 2020, and I'm good to go with it. If I'm Coach Diaz and whomever the offensive coordinator may be, I'm telling whomever's in the room, Van Dyke, Martell if he stays, Perry, Matocha, Williams, the job's open again. Go win it between now and the time we open next year against Temple. Jaren's got all the potential to be an All-American when things are right. But I think he started seeing ghosts the last 2 weeks of the season. He started being the guy that we saw, you know, at certain stretches of the year where his head went down and he was not throwing the ball with authority or pulling the trigger when he needed to. He was inaccurate as hell against Duke, and he played terrible against FIU. So I like Jaren, but the job's wide open to me. Matter of fact, there's only about three jobs that might actually be safe on this team going into 2020.
Oh, my God. I'm looking up, and the NFL Network is on the replay is on some of the screens here, and Crowder's pointing at it furiously. You know, Deion Sanders does, if you ball, you get the call. It was bleeping Ryan Tannehill this week.
How you hate
hell?
On that man?
I don't hate on him, but come on. How long was he here? He never got the bleeping call. He never balled to get the call. It's happening. Man, and I love Derrick Henry, too. Yeah. I love watching that guy run. All right, John Michaels with us. So what do you attribute the two losses to? I say, to me, it's a completely different season. If they end the two games winning against FIU and Duke, we are singing the praises of Manny Diaz. He's 8-4, and a couple of the losses at the beginning can be attributed to the kicking game. And when they had those hiccups against Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, well, he got it straightened out at the end. I mean, literally, two wins against FIU and Duke, and people are calling in today to sing the praises of Manny Diaz and his first season. What went wrong the last two games in your mind?
I think a lot of it, and I know people are afraid to blame kids that are 18 to 22 years old. I think there's something broken in that locker room where a lot of these kids feel that, hey, we won three in a row and we beat Florida State and there was a huge Miami contingency there and they were all singing our praises. I think part of it, they went into FIU overconfident. And truthfully, Hawk, I thought they were going to bounce back against Duke and go, all right, we've heard enough crap all week long. Let's go out and beat the crap out of Duke and go home. I think that was a group that when they lost to FIU, shut it down. And I would not be shocked, especially if they get matched up against Central Florida or, you know, one of these upstart programs that wants to beat them in a bowl game, if they don't lay down and get beat down in a bowl game. It's going to take an offseason with Manny Diaz and assuming that he's going to continue to be the guy where he's got to eradicate all of these problems. And if that means seniors that aren't playing enough or crying about playing time, tell him kick rocks. We'll go find somebody to replace you. He may need to go a young route, a hungry route. This class of 2020, you know, apparently has got guys that are in a group text message and they want to stay and they want to be part of the rebuild of Miami. And Lord knows I've heard that for the last decade, seemingly from every class coming in. But I think some of these guys quit. I looked at the effort on Saturday afternoon. Duke looked like they were putting an effort forth. Miami looked like Dan Enos' play card. They were wet, they were cold, and they were withering away. It's not a good look to end the season, and you're right. Had they won those two when they were 8-4, they might have been waiting for a call from the Orange Bowl on yep. Sunday afternoon with a chance to go against somebody who probably would have beat them, but you would have had that national exposure of being in the Orange Bowl at the end of Manny's first year. Now you're going to have a bowl game on December 8th, probably in a baseball field or coming out of a dugout somewhere, and it's going to be horrible optics for the team when they're playing against Liberty or Louisiana Tech.
It really is. It's so infuriating to me as a Hurricanes fan that you're two wins away from a completely different season. And the two wins, because I would say to you, even if you had finished 8-4, and you had beaten Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, but you lost the last two games to FIU and Duke, people are still up in arms. It came apart at the end, and the hell with Manny Diaz and the hell with Dan Enos. I'm telling you, the two games that they needed to win, FIU and Duke. And like you say, you're probably playing in the Orange Bowl and against a marquee team, and everyone's feeling great about the program. It is so infuriating to me that this is where we're at, that it was that close.
Isn't y'all bowl game next week?
It was yesterday, actually.
yesterday.
They had a bowl game yesterday. It was at Sawgrass Mills. They were in the Churromania Bowl right across from Brandsmart. All right, so to wrap it up, John Michaels.
We were playing the Liberty City team at Tamiami Park.
John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. So to wrap it up, you want Dan Enos gone?
Yes, like you want, today.
You want Manny Diaz to stay?
I guess. I mean, I'm not over the top in wanting him to stay. I just know the optics and the way that college football works. He's not going anywhere. And changing coaches again, unless you have a plan to go get Lincoln Riley or somebody like that, which ain't happening, you're going to be right back in the same place another two or three years from now.
And Blake James, you want gone?
Yeah, he can leave. Take his little green suit.
I love that green suit.
See what you're dealing with, John?
I love that green suit. Well, I don't – like, what would you – like, to me, the biggest blemish on Blake James' career is Al Golden. But other than that, like, the Mark Richt hire, we all know that was the right thing to do. It was inspired. I think the Manny Diaz hire was the right thing to do as well.
I don't have a problem with the Manny Diaz hire. Had he actually gone out and done a national search?
But he had no time. He had no time. He, like, Manny Diaz had to tell Temple.
Manny Diaz would have been okay if he told Temple a week later, I'm leaving for Miami. He already hightailed it, and they were getting $4 million bucks either way. You had to do a real search. Now, if the real search turns up Manny Diaz, so be it. He was a guy on the staff, and we probably would have praised Blake James for doing it. But when you spent 9 hours, maybe, looking for a new head coach, that means you never even made a phone call. That means Manny Diaz, who was rumored to have already been in Miami, you walked over to him, you want the job, cool, let's work out a contract now. We'll find out what the buyout is, and we're going to get you out of Temple. He would have left Temple in March, in January, in July, if offered the Miami job. So I get where you're coming from, where, you know, hey, he was supposed to have some time. He could have taken as much time as he needed and still landed on Manny Diaz.
Does anyone have any more questions for John Michaels? Because our computers have crashed back at the station and we can't go to commercial. This is why we've gone so long as it is. They have engineers and they're trying to override the system because we cannot take a commercial break. Does anyone have any?
I've got plenty of time.
I've got
anyone
a question.
In Twin Peaks? Bacon?
I'll
Bacon.
Take a question.
Bacon. It's
in all
Crowder's.
Honesty, I've been waiting to do radio in Miami for 15 years anyway.
Well,
so the longer I get on here, this is an early audition for me right now.
It is your time to shine. The fact that you even would think that you have to audition, the fact that John Michaels is not doing radio in Miami is a shame. Today's Crowder's birthday, John.
Oh, happy birthday, Chandler. What are you, 35, 34, something like that?
36, brother. But I don't really believe in the birthdays because I had nothing to do with it.
Your mom is here, though.
My mom's the one that had to do everything today 36 years ago. I just laid there and fell out.
Yeah. Well, happy happy birthday.
You're born December 2nd, so you were a right after Valentine's hookup. For mom and dad.
Wow,
mom
look.
Yeah. And I was an IUD baby. I wasn't supposed to make it past that little coil.
Is that true?
Yeah, I slithered on past. Wow. My little swimmer was swimming.
Man, you couldn't get past anyone in the NFL. That was crazy. So your best years were as a fetus.
And you definitely
sperm.
Couldn't get across that canal in that video.
Yeah, man.
What they have up there, an IUD on that pier?
It was a LaCoil on the pier.
All right. Well, there you go. We can't take a commercial break, Solana?
No.
All right. I'll let John go anyway. I mean, crazy.
In all honesty, guys, and I know we laugh and we joke and we have a great time. Sincerely, from me, I appreciate you guys giving me the forum on Mondays to talk about my true love, you. And obviously we'll do this as the years go along, but I thank the two of you for giving me the opportunity to talk every Monday on your program.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of fans love hearing from you because you say things that a lot of fans are thinking, and and so it's appreciated. But I would imagine we'll have you on for the bowl game as well. You don't have any problem with them playing in a bowl game at 6-6, right?
No, you might as well go play. I mean,
yeah, there's people,
if anything,
you know,
go start some freshmen.
Yeah, there's people talking on social media.
Get your mouth bashed in by Louisiana Tech.
But you're not going to get your mouth bashed in.
Bro, you just got your ass whooped by FIU. You're talking like this is a guaranteed win.
That feels almost distant. That doesn't even feel real anymore, does it?
2 days ago.
Really? Was it that? Is it that reason? Well, I'm 50 now, so you know my mind is going. What is your name again? Is Mariah Carey white or black? John, the floor is yours.
John, if you have to put Mariah on one side, where do you put Mariah?
With her soul, I got to make her a sister. She's got some soul to her.
Thank you.
No, but Christina Aguilera's got soul.
We gave you Carol Channing. That's it.
Carol Channing is from 1955. I know we've done better than that.
That's it.
Who am I missing?
White female singers?
P. pink? What about pink?
And Christina Aguilera is Hispanic, so that
yeah, I know. Technically, but we're doing this, John. We're not having a gray area. We're only doing you're either black or white. There's nothing out. There's nothing in between.
Yeah, I can't think of any white R&B. What about Pink? Pink had some soul.
Yeah,
she had
I think
R&B album on LaFace Records way back when.
Yeah, she can belt it.
R&B, LaFace, dyed her hair.
Yeah.
That's a black woman. That's a black woman.
Pink is not a black woman.
I know.
Her parents are probably white.
Any chance we can take a commercial break, Solana?
Nope.
Really? There's no nope. commercial break.
I'm None. Sure John has something to do, man.
All right. You got something to do, John?
I actually do. So I'm going to hang out with you guys and laugh.
Want to talk about the Falcons? Anything?
No, there's All no. Right. Hey, the only person that's been hit more than Jaren Williams is Matt Ryan, who's still picking up his carcass off the ground when he got stiff-armed by the Saints the other day. If we couldn't be embarrassed enough with 28-3, now we have our quarterback getting bounced around like a lawn dart on his own field on Thanksgiving night.
We're going to do a segment the next hour, depending on whether we're able to play commercials or not, because I don't think we'd be able to play the intro, but we'd do a segment on Mondays called Sat Your Ass Down, and I know Matt Ryan's going to be one of them because he got his ass sat down.
He sure did.
All right. Thank you, John.
Yeah, he did. Anytime, guys. Thanks.
John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta, SB Nation Radio as well.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.